So, Tina, I'm going to have you preach now because you just stole what I was going to preach about this morning. No, I'm just kidding. Going to set it better myself. But we're going to add a little more to that. But we survived Christmas. Who all had a bunch of family over for Christmas? Raise your hand. Like, full house full and everything like that. I like how all the hands are, like, just slightly like this because they're just so sad and ready for it to be over, that kind of thing. But it's a truly a wonderful time of the year, but we also get caught up in the stress of it. And we get focused on Jesus' birth, which is all a good thing. Focusing on the happy thoughts, you know, the good Christmas feeling of the joy that we get when we see each other. So then you wake up, if you're like me, on 6 a.m. on Christmas Day, open all the presents, play your video games, sit, take a nap for like 3 hours, eat some great food at dinner, and then go to bed. Then you wake up the next day, and that feeling is still there. Still Christmas, day after Christmas, you know, maybe some family you're still in, you've got another couple Christmases to go to, same thing for the 27th, but then we start getting farther from Christmas Day, closer to the New Year's Eve, and that feeling goes away. Does anyone else have that feeling that goes away? We start to be like, what do we do now? We celebrated everything, we had this big old party for Jesus. But what do we do now? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about that. Our verse today is going to be Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through 18. Verse 10. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here I am, and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason we had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of God for the people of God. So like I was saying, New Year's Eve, that also comes the excitement of a new year, especially this part, the excitement of a new decade. That's just crazy to me. It's already a new decade. I remember yesterday, like it was yesterday when 2010 started. It was a new decade. Does anybody remember what they were doing? Or would not want to share what they were doing that night? You see, that excitement happens. The excitement builds. The excitement happens. The event happens. And then it's over. So what now? Well, like Tina was saying, you can now say you've been quoted in an AA sermon, so there you go. We don't know what tomorrow holds. The only thing we are guaranteed is today. We aren't guaranteed a tomorrow. But we were able to exist in the now. So in classic Paul fashion here, Hebrews, we don't really know the author of it, but a lot of it say that it's Paul or another disciple, but it has a lot of Paul's writings here. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. First of all, let's remember that guarantee. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation, bringing Jesus down through suffering, the suffering of Jesus Christ. That's the first guarantee. God is the creator of everything. And we're looking at this because we're going to end this year on a simple but powerful message here before we start diving into the next phase of what we're going to be looking at through the next few months in this church. So, God is in control. Then goes on to say, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers in the presence of the congregation. I will sing your praises. The second guarantee. Everyone is welcome to this message. Everyone is part of the family. Jesus, through his sacrifice, not just saved the Jews, but the Gentiles. And really what I want to touch on too, I had this during our Christmas Eve service back home. Our pastor, Stephen DeFer, he gave a phenomenal Christmas message. It's very hard to do that, you know, the same thing every year. Jesus is born. All right, cool. But one thing he really talked about were the three wise men, or the three magi. The story goes, three wise men come to Bethlehem bringing three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I cannot speak this morning. Well, one thing we're not guaranteed is the number. It just says three gifts. The second thing, this really blew my mind. I'd never thought about this. We learned it in school during one of my Bible classes, but didn't really dissect it from there. The Magi were not kings. We translate it to three wise men to fit the culture, or three kings to fit what we want to look at. But the actual text, the beginning of the text, the origin of it, they were three magicians. What's crazy is they knew of this prophecy because they were looking to the stars. They knew where to look. And you're probably thinking, why the heck are we talking about three magicians in a service about New Year's? Well, let me tell you. The reason is God used the most unlikely of people to spread his message. The three magicians knew where to look. They were looking for a king. They see the star and they follow it. They weren't even part of the Jewish religion. They just knew of this prophecy and they followed it. And what's really mind-blowing to me, magicians, they were using magic. A lot of what the Hebrews would define as very evil things from the devil, and probably what they were. I kind of remember the magicians that the high priests and the prince of Egypt, all the things they were doing, making the water with the powder, you know, turn into blood, the Nile. But the reason I'm talking about them is because right here, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. Bless you. Jesus makes that one big family. God used people of a different faith to spread his message. That blew my mind. Because we see in the Bible all the time, and I've glanced over it a lot, he uses the most unlikely people for his messages. Amen? So then, where do we see that in our lives? A lot of the time, I don't feel worthy to carry God's message. And I'm sure a lot of the times in your life, you felt not worthy to carry that message. Not worthy for the death that Jesus bled on the cross. But it says right here in the Bible, that guarantee, the second guarantee, he makes men holy. We're all holy through Jesus. We're all forgiven through Jesus. Verse 13, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. That's the third guarantee. Jesus has the power over death. Jesus was human. I mean, we just sang about the birth, Silent Night. He was born. So since he was human, and this is a very basic message, but because I want to end it so clear, because it's very basic, but very powerful and important. Jesus understands our thought process. I'm a firm believer that the Lord speaks to people in the way that they find it most clear. So I'm a very visual person, and I enjoy music. Bless you. Oh, wait. Okay, I wanted to make sure I didn't have to say bless you again. Comes in twos. I can't help it. But the Lord speaks to me through music, through song lyrics, or just through the music itself, the movements of the music. And that's so true because he understands how to communicate with us. And I think that's why it's so important that we understand the humanity of Jesus. So three guarantees. God is in control. The author of everything, he is in control. Two, Jesus made everyone holy. He made everyone part of the same family by being born and by his cross and by his death on the cross. The third, Jesus understands humanity because he was human. He knows our struggles. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. That's so powerful. The reason being, he was made like his brothers in every way. He was made like you and me. That way, he became a merciful high priest, that connection directly to God. And that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. But my favorite verse in really the Bible are two. God is love, because it's so pure, so simple, but so true. But also verse 16 right here. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. And when we read that, there's a literal translation. He didn't go to help the angels in heaven. He came down to help Abraham's descendants, the Jewish people, the Gentiles, everyone. But I also see a more figurative translation, a more metaphorical one, if you will. He didn't come to help the angels, the ones who already had the salvation, the ones who already knew him, the ones who already were worshiping God. He came to help Abraham's descendants, the ones who needed him, the sick, the poor, the ones who just needed love. I think that's the strongest guarantee, because that is our duty as Christians. That's what God has done for us. He saved us, so now we have to love others. And I'm ending this year by saying that because it's so powerful and so true. God has guaranteed love for us. We have that guarantee. But in reality, there's much more to it. We have to give that love. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus went through everything. I mean, this man literally starved himself in the desert for 40 days. Was on the brink of death, but he still held on. It's the ultimate example. That's the guarantee. Again, Jesus has suffered like we have suffered. So he knows our pain. So then where does that leave us for the new year? Well, one way I think of it is how we just sang Silent Night. At the end of every candlelight service, you sing Silent Night, raise the candles. Very beautiful. And that's supposed to signify the light into the world. I can't remember. Did I tell y'all about my graduation, how they had the candle lighting ceremony? I think that's the greatest example. Not just taking what we have learned in here, but literally imparting that light from faculty, from mentor to student. So then, my challenge for this new year, because we have the simple guarantee that God is in control, God loves us, Jesus loves us, he sent his son for us, and Jesus is always there for us. So we have that guarantee. Let's take that light. Let's be the light. Because we're guaranteed that light. We are guaranteed to have that in our darkest of times. Especially with everything that's going on in the country right now. What I see in here is love. We are ending this decade and starting the new decade, right here in this room, in love. For each other, for our communities. So I pray that this year, this new year, your prayer to God is that you find your magi. You find the person who is looking for something. They know where to look. They have the prophecy, but they don't truly know the relationship with Jesus. Bless you. Again, the joys of a small church, having everyone say bless you. So find your magi. Be that light that we sing about on that silent night, having the star guide our way. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.